Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ghoul Society.
That's my big sister, Jamie.
And that's my little sister, Sarah. We are grateful to be recording on the unceded, stolen territories of the Songhees and Esquimalt First Nations and the Lekwungen and Wasanich peoples whose historical relations with the land continue to this day. As uninvited guests, we are committed to disrupting racism and colonial violence within ourselves, our families, and our communities. By listening to this podcast, you've officially been inducted into the Ghoul Society.
Welcome back, everybody. It is part dos, two. What's two in French? Part
de. De, dos, and tre. Tway.
What?
Ain't tway.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, you look so offended that I didn't know.
I'm offended that Sarah doesn't know her Dutch numbers. Come on.
I don't know any Dutch. Sue me.
Ooh.
I don't have time to learn.
You do. Just use one Duolingo.
One day, I'm going to just move there and then learn it.
Truly. Me too. Okay, let's get right to it. We're at CISO Hotel. CISO.
Oh, I forgot to tell you in the first part that...
Tell me.
There's this, I don't know if you've ever seen this guy on TikTok. He used to live across from the CISO Hotel.
I was watching him on YouTube.
Were you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
I was like, it would be so intense to live in that neighborhood. Would it not? Like, yes. Would you not be a little...
It would be really intense.
Worried?
Anxious? I mean, I guess it's kind of just like living by, whatchamacallit, Pandora.
Yeah.
Or like more intense though, because there's like 10,000 people.
Side Vancouver.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we're gonna do this.
Holy shit,
Sarah stomach. Needs to eat, and we've been at it for 3 hours.
We've been at it, but listen, we're just happy to be here because we've been going through it. So
that's right.
This is our little escapism. Yep. Also, reading is my escapism.
But knitting is mine.
Yeah.
Anyway, so This is the Cecil Hotel Part 2. Mm. Again, I'm going to say, if you or anyone you know is in crisis and you need help, you can always call 988. That is the suicide crisis line. Mm-hmm. And also probably if there's a mental health crisis, you can call that line as well. Yeah. Just want to preface this episode with that.
Yes.
As well as if you are sensitive to these types of things, you probably do not want to continue on this episode, so we will see you next week instead.
Maybe go listen to Ghoul Society's last broadcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Or listen to something
Surprise.
Fun.
It wasn't our last broadcast.
Surprise. We're here. So I'm going to get into the story of Elisa Lam.
Right.
It's intense and it's sad. Mm-mm. Not that all the other stuff was also, but this is a little bit more current and a little bit, I think, more like relevant to our lives.
Most known, I would say.
Most known, yeah. I think because the documentary came out during the pandemic, so a lot of people saw it.
That's true. It was very big.
Even though this situation happened in 2013, so it took a long time.
Yeah. But I feel like that's kind of a good thing.
Yeah,
to
absolutely
make sure fact check everything is right, especially because it was ongoing.
Yeah,
like such a like when the cases are ongoing, just wait to release documentaries or like information about them.
Well, and also actually, I've kind of heard that like this documentary was kind of made as like a hush hush kind of thing to like shove any other ideas away and just make this the only theory.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but
okay, let's get into it, please.
So Elisa Lam was born in Vancouver, BC, and she was the daughter of Hong Kong immigrants. At the time of her solo trip to Los Angeles, Elisa had been studying at UBC, but she was actually taking a break from schooling or had just dropped her classes for that year. She was an inspiring blog writer. She posted about models, fashion, quotes, as well as other longer discussions on her well-being and mental health. Two of her blogs were really well known, and while her family kept Elisa's mental health on the down low, her blogs were vulnerable and authentic. This is where she had shared that in 2012, she actually had a relapse in her stability because she had been dealing with some really intense mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
She was diagnosed with bipolar and depression and was on a handful of medications to keep her stable. Her family stated that Elisa never had suicide ideation, but her blog told a different story. One of the posts reads, "Today has been one of those blah days, full of apathy. Really dangerous, too. I can see myself feeling suicidal, and it always scares me when I start feeling suicidal."
Mm-hmm.
So she was really battling a lot of demons, and it seemed like she kind of kept that from her parents and kept that from her family,
mm-hmm.
which I don't blame her at all. No, like, that's really intense.
What happens most of the time.
Yeah, yeah. And especially if your family is one that doesn't really talk about mental health to begin with, like, that's a really big thing to share. Mm-hmm. So before the Cecil Hotel incident, Elisa had actually been hospitalized at least once due to mental illness. She had a history of not taking her medication properly for whatever mm-hmm. reason. And when this happened, she would experience hallucinations that caused her to be scared and hide.
Yeah.
Which is kind of wild. I didn't know that medications could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of knew, but
that's like, why medications like that, you can't stop taking them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You really? Gotta,
yeah.
Unless you, like, lower your dose, but you have to do it with your doctor. You have to, like, see your doctor all the time when you're doing that.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just very intense for your body and your brain neurons because now they're so dependent on it.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have to try to re-regulate themselves to do it naturally. And it's really hard to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2013, Elisa decided that she would go on a trip by herself to Los Angeles mm-hmm. and just see the sights and check things out and travel, live it up. She was young. She had just graduated high school not that long before this. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, I'm going. So she checked into the Cecil on January 26th, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
She had contacted her parents every day and kept in touch with them up until the day that she disappeared on January 31st, which was also meant to be her checkout date.
Mm-hmm.
So Elisa never officially checked out of the Cecil Hotel.
Right.
Which, to me, feels really creepy.
Yeah, that is really creepy. But when, I guess so did the other people who died there. The ones who committed suicide also didn't check out.
It's true.
So
when her family didn't hear from her, they immediately contacted the LAPD because mm-hmm. they knew something was wrong. And they flew down to help the search.
Wow.
Which is kind of amazing. That they were immediately amazing. Like, we can't get a hold of her. She talks to us every single fucking day.
Yeah.
Something's not okay.
Yeah.
We don't know how her mental health is. Let's go.
Yeah.
Love it. Love the family. Yeah, they're amazing
people.
Yeah, so supportive. People.
That's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. She was reported missing the next day on February 1st, and everyone was doing their best to find Elisa, mm-hmm. though it was really challenging. Mm-hmm. For example, there were actually no security cameras located on the floor that Elisa was staying on.
Which floor was she on again?
I think like floor 8 or something.
And what year was that?
2013. Right. So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But this meant that police were having troubles understanding her last known whereabouts.
Mm.
They decide to go to the internet because obviously. And blogs are like really a thing at this time.
Right.
And so police found one of her blog posts from January 27th. Mm-hmm. Which claimed that Elisa was getting unwanted attention from males in the area.
Mm.
Further, there is, though, CCTV footage from the elevators of Elisa with two men, one of which handed her a box, and the box was recognized to be from a nearby bookstore
mm-hmm.
called, which is, this is kind of weird, but it's called The Last Bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
However, these men have never been identified. So she's like saying that she's getting unwanted attention. There's footage of her getting this attention.
Yeah.
Initially, she was actually put in a shared room, but she ended up being moved to a single room on January 30th, mm-hmm. just a couple days, a day before she went missing,
mm-hmm.
due to erratic behavior. Elisa was allegedly locking her roommates out, saying they couldn't enter without a password, which I think is kind of hilarious, and leaving notes telling them to leave and go home.
Right.
The owner said that Elisa was outgoing, she was lively and friendly, and she shared that she was actually going to purchase some books for her friends and family in Vancouver.
Yeah.
So she very obviously had plans to eventually
go back home.
Yeah. Yeah. So
she was just struggling while she was there as well.
Yeah. And it almost seems like this like dual kind of identity or personality thing where it's like, I'm excited to go home. I'm excited to see my friends and family and all of this stuff. And I have these plans. But at the same time, like, I'm, like, not doing well. I'm depressed.
Yeah.
Like, all of these kind of things. Though,
I think that...
We can talk about also, like, our theories a bit more later, too.
I'm not an expert, obviously. But I think that can be common in people who experience bipolar disorder.
Yes. Yeah.
It's very, like... Even when they're, like, in a manic state, it can seem very erratic. And I feel like that depression can still be there, obviously.
Yeah.
Even when they're in a manic state.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think part of her was probably in a manic state. And she was, like with the roommate thing at the start. And then, like, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to go home and blah, 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 blah. And then other part of her was, like, I, like, hate life.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
So the last time that anyone saw Elisa alive was when she was caught in an area of the hotel that guests weren't supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
She was asked to leave by hotel staff, and she was last seen walking toward an elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Phone records state that she was going to meet up with a man who never showed up. However, he was cleared as a suspect from the case as he had a strong alibi for that night.
Okay.
Some personal items were found in her hotel room, but her phone was never found. Ever.
Did it go down the elevator shaft, perhaps? Can phones fit through the gap?
A 2013 phone? Probably not. It's like brick phone life.
Unless you have an iPhone 4.
iPhone 3. On February 13th, 2013, police released CC footage of the last known sighting of Elisa Lam.
Oh, I don't like it.
I know.
I really don't like it.
The video, which is 2.5 minutes long, was taken on February 1st, 2013. It shows Elisa acting erratic, popping in and out of the elevator as if she's hiding from someone, pushing all the buttons, waving her hands around in like a really strange, kind of creepy way. And then she finally decides to leave the elevator and stand in the hallway until the door closes. No one else can be seen in this footage.
Oh, I just really hate it. I just hate that elevator footage so much. It gives me nightmares.
I've watched it too many times. Me too. I've watched
it so much and I just hate it.
I don't know like why, what it is about it, but like same. I think it's just like so spooky.
It's so spooky. It's so devastating.
Yeah.
It's just so devastating to watch her behavior like that. Knowing
what happens next,
even though between that point and when she's found is like no one knows what happens. I think that's why it's so spooky, so devastating, because it's like, okay, so there's this elevator footage and then it's just a giant question mark.
Yeah I know. It's really and we'll get into that a little bit too, and we'll talk about the footage a little bit more. But that's it. It's online if you decide that you want to watch it, but it is really creepy.
Yeah.
So of course this footage went viral. Some people think that she could have been participating in the Korean elevator game.
Yeah.
This game is essentially a super detailed set of instructions that you would follow, which would then take you to another world or plane of existence. But I mean, I don't know. Is that just like stereotyping her because she's like Asian?
It might be. I didn't know it was like
a thing.
A thing. Not like from
Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I just thought it was like one of those spooky games people.
Yeah. Maybe there's like different versions of it.
Maybe.
But anyway, a while after Elisa went missing, sorry, people started complaining that the water tasted off and the pressure was really low and the water was discolored.
I just think about that too often.
When I watched the like show on Netflix, I was so freaked out.
I know.
Like this case really freaks me out. I know, so me too. Much. I think like when I was researching the Cecil Hotel for a couple nights, I would like wake up in the middle of the night and I would just think about everyone who died at the hotel.
Oh my God, Jamie.
I know, and I felt like their spirits were like around. Yeah. And I was God, it was kind of a lot.
That is a lot.
I know. Anyways.
Yeah, it's just like, I just think about the water like more often than I should. Yeah. Like when I'm having a shower sometimes, I'm like,
ooh.
Like, I know my water
is fine.
Yeah, but it's great.
Oh. I know.
So yeah. People in the hotel.
People in the hotel are like, the water is not okay. Can you guys check it out? So on the morning of February 19th, maintenance worker Santiago Lopez went to check on the four separate 1,000-gallon water towers on the roof of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Upon opening one of the tanks, he found Elisa Lam's body floating in the water.
Oh my God.
She had been found naked with her clothing floating around her.
Yeah.
The clothing was reported to be coated with sand-like particulate, and her watch and room key were also found in the tank. The clothing that was found seemed to match the exact clothing that she was wearing in the viral elevator video.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like she was in the elevator and then she went to the roof.
And then where did her phone go?
Her phone was already missing.
Oh, it was?
Yeah,
oh.
At that point, I think. Well, they never, I guess, who knows? They never found it, but it wasn't in the water tank.
It is. I don't want to sound rude, but it's possible someone stole it.
Yep, totally. Yeah, it could have been stolen. Yeah. Maybe she, like, threw it off the, edge of the building or something. But so here's the thing. There is no reported evidence of foul play. There's no evidence of sexual assault. And no obvious damage or physical trauma was done to Elisa's body.
Mm-hmm.
However, we also know that sexual assault isn't always apparent. And I feel that the physical trauma that was done to her body, like, there was physical trauma in that she drowned.
Yeah.
Like, that is trauma. Physical trauma. But there was no, like,
outward.
Yeah. However, this drowning was most likely self-inflicted. That's kind of where this case goes. That's the direction it takes. Yeah. But there's different theories.
Right.
Because there's no evidence that shows that she was, like, murdered and then dragged into the tank or anything.
Like someone else was there.
Yeah, but I want to talk about that a little bit later. However, some deeper things is like, this is a little bit, I didn't hear about this in the video in the like TV show.
Yeah.
But the autopsy report found traces of Elisa's medication, over-the-counter medication like ibuprofen, and a small amount of alcohol all in her system.
Right.
But there were no traces of recreational drugs.
Right.
However, the report claims that the amount of medication found in Elisa's body was less than she was prescribed to be taking at that time. This matched because they had actually found more medication with her on the trip than she should have had, considering when the refill dates of her meds were.
Oh.
There was a rape and a sexual assault kit that was completed, but it didn't say when the results were processed. Apparently, there was subcutaneous blood pooling in her anal area, so a bruise.
Right.
But we don't know if that's actually a sign of sexual abuse or rape. It could also be due to bloating of the body from being in the water.
Yeah.
Or it could have also been like consensual sex as well.
Yeah.
We don't really know, but that's the only thing that was found that was a little bit like, oh, this is interesting.
Right.
Police searched the entire hotel to the extent that they legally could, which meant that they weren't actually allowed to go into anyone else's room except Elisa's room.
Yeah.
Blink, blink. A spooky thing about all of this is that the doors and the stairways to the roof were all locked.
Yeah.
And any attempt to access these spaces would set off an alarm, letting the staff know that someone was trying to get up there. The only way to bypass the security measures would be to go through the hotel's fire escape. Search dogs could not track Elisa's scent. They lost it at a window that actually connected to the same fire escape that went up.
Oh, so she did go up the fire escape.
So it's thought that she went up the fire escape. Right. However, a thought that I had was like, okay, we'll get to my thought later. But okay. The inside of the water tower was also really challenging to access. If staff needed to, they would have to bring a ladder up to the roof with them.
Yeah.
And the water tanks were also protected by really heavy secure lids.
Right.
So how did she put the lid back? The lid wasn't back on.
Oh, the lid was open.
It was like a jar.
Oh.
But oh, that's I'm sorry. I know. It's creepy. But how did she even just open it? Because she was like a really petite gal. But also like, I don't know, strength. Like, there's this thing of like, kind of like if you have some like neurodiversities, you can sometimes have like crazy superhuman strength.
Oh, yeah.
Like kids that are really high on the autism spectrum, they'll have like crazy strong strength. So it's like, who knows? I don't know.
Right.
Anyways, the hotel employee said that the lid was open when he found Elisa inside the water tank. Perhaps she went in when the water level was high and then she couldn't get out when it was lower.
Right.
Or even the opposite way as well. And there's still no confirmation on how she could have gotten into the tank at all on her own.
Because you needed to bring a ladder.
Yeah.
And how tall are they?
They're not as big as I thought. But
could you jump up and reach that?
No.
And lift? Like, how?
I don't know. It seems like there is kind of a way to do it. Because there's some, like, infrastructure around it.
Right.
I don't know. She could have maybe got onto, there's like a little building beside the water towers. If she somehow got on top of that and then jumped down, something like that. I don't really know. But like the roof looks so, yeah, the whole thing is like pretty sketchy. In June 2013, the official cause of Elisa's death was ruled to be an accident due to drowning, with her mental health due to be a major factor in her death. Her parents filed a lawsuit against the hotel claiming negligence and that caused wrongful death.
Right.
However, the lawsuit was eventually dismissed since it wasn't foreseeable of the hotel to think that guests would be able to get into the water towers. Yeah. And they had lots of things in place preventing this, as mentioned earlier.
Right.
So now we get into the theories.
How did they not have cameras up there?
I know. Like, come on.
Surely, yes. Because they have the alarm on the doors. If someone tries to open the door to the roof, it goes off.
Yeah.
But because the fire escape allows, you can go to get to the roof from the fire escape.
Yeah.
There should be cameras up there for the security to be like, oh shit, someone's climbing onto the roof from the fire escape.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, you would totally there's more than one way to get up there.
Yep. Nope.
And, like, people will do what they want.
Weird shit all the time.
Yeah.
People be peopling.
I'm sure she's not the first person who's done that, who's climbed up the fire escape to that roof.
It's true. It's totally true. And, like, actually, a lot of residents that live there now, they say they always go up to the roof.
Yeah.
With the fire escape.
Yeah, so it's why weren't there cameras up there?
I know. So first, I'm going to talk about what I kind of think.
Okay, let's hear what you think.
I have two thoughts.
Okay.
One thought is that because of that footage of her in the elevator, which is super disturbing, that she was not well.
Yeah.
And that she seemed to be kind of like running and hiding from her own like hallucinations or demons. Yeah. And that she thought it was a good place to hide.
That's honestly what I think.
Yeah. Which is so devastating.
Yeah.
And so disturbing.
Yeah.
But my other theory is that, like, maybe a hotel person, worker, kind of, like, chased her or brought her or was with her out there.
Yeah.
And brought a ladder and helped to, like, bypass all the alarms and stuff and unlock things.
Yeah.
and then like put her in the tank. That's another theory
or, that like, I have. Helped her get into the tank and left her in the tank.
Yeah, but like,
and then took the ladder away.
Yeah, but that's like also really absurd.
Yeah,
to me. But I mean, so is like, so is just having like hallucinations and going yeah. into hiding in a water tank. Like,
yeah.
And the reason I think her clothes are off is probably because she was trying to like stay afloat, you know, like swimming, yeah. treading water. Clothes are super heavy.
Yeah.
And so she probably took them off.
That takes so much effort to take clothes off in water, though. In
the
water.
I know. See, that's the other thing. Like,
to take your shirt off in water takes so much effort.
Yeah. So, like, what if she was actually, like, sexually assaulted mm-hmm. and then put into the tank?
Yeah.
Don't know. And, like, bloating from being in water can hide evidence.
Yes, water does that.
Water damages evidence of crimes all the time. It's, like, the worst thing that yeah. can happen to a body.
Yeah.
So, those are my thoughts. Now I'm going to get into the theories, which are kind of related. But
okay.
Theory one is that, yes, Elisa was having a severe manic episode leading mm-hmm. to hallucinations, explaining the elevator footage and why she thought she needed to get into the water tank. Perhaps she was just needing to hide and she accidentally drowned. Theory two, related to the manic episode and additionally citing her depression and suicidal ideation earlier on, like on her blog site,
mm-hmm.
Elisa may have died by suicide and used the water tower to do so. However, right. she was excited to go back home.
Yeah.
She was keeping in touch with her family, but yeah, sadly, but
we know that doesn't mean anything.
No, exactly. And that's exactly what I had written down. Yeah. Like, yeah. Theory three. Elisa might have been on some additional drugs that were not traceable in her system by the time that she was found.
Yeah, that's very plausible.
Because she was found, like, 18 days later.
Oh my god, she was in there for 18 days.
Yeah. I know. Super disturbing.
If I was in that hotel and when that happened, I think I
would never drink water ever again.
Never. I'd only ever drink bottled water.
Ugh. Bottled water is gross.
Or like, I know, but like even, oh, like
it would be traumatic. You would need some therapy. I feel like I wouldn't be able
to shower. You know.
Yeah, you would definitely need some therapy. People were having
showers.
I know, and drinking the water. Teeth. Yeah.
It's just so devastating for everybody.
Theory four, the murder theory.
Mm.
She was getting a bunch of unwanted attention from men, like we talked about.
Yeah.
She had plans to meet with someone that night. So is it possible that she actually met with someone who could have taken her life or wanted to harm her, especially if she was unwell?
Right.
Was it a staff member that did it? Because this would account for how she got up there, how she got into the tank, and perhaps even account for the elevator footage as well.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, ew, yeah. Oh my god.
And when you watch if you decide to watch the Paranormal Files video,
yeah,
they go like to the same hotel. Sorry, obviously the same hotel. They go to the same elevator that Elisa took.
Uh-huh.
And, like, the way that there's, like, the elevator and the hallway of the elevator and the stairs are on the left. And then on the right, there's two hallways. It gets divided.
Oh.
And so you can't really see. You would have to do, like, what she's doing, like, leave what? And really look around the corner. To look down.
No, I hate that I can see it in my head.
Me too. Okay, let's move on.
Wait, do they play the footage on that?
They do. But if you, once you see it, just turn away. If you can, I know. Okay, theory five. This is an interesting theory.
Okay.
And it's about tuberculosis.
Oh.
A theory began on Reddit that Elisa was the test subject for new TB medication. Quote. After she was found, a huge outbreak of the unique drug-resistant TB occurred in the same area of her disappearance. How do you diagnose TB? With a LAMELISA test.
Stop it right now.
This is a real test.
Stop it right now.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So this is a real test, and there was an outbreak of TB within the hotel. There was also a large and highly acclaimed TB testing center at UBC. Some theorists think that she knew too much and she was killed for what she knew.
No, really?
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's a little bit of a stretch.
But it's a bit of a stretch. But, you know. The second part.
Yeah. Theory 6, the supernatural. The Cecil Hotel obviously has an extremely dark energy that drives people to the brink of madness and pulls them to their death in whatever form it may take.
Yeah.
Some people believe a sinister energy guided Elisa to her death, referring, again to the elevator footage. Also to note on this, the elevator does not close or move for the entire 2.5 minutes.
I know!
While Elisa can be seen in the footage.
What the fuck is that about?
I'm actually gonna cry.
What the fuck is that about? That is the most supernatural thing caught on camera.
People believe that spirits and negative forces were holding the door open so that she wouldn't be able to use the elevator and that she was forced to the roof. I'm also crying. This is also connected to the theory of the Korean elevator game, which some people think that Elisa might have done it wrong. And then,
and the spirits were mad?
Yeah. And maybe she ended up in, a completely different kind of existence.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Theory 7.
I am not okay.
I'm not okay. It's really... What do you think about... I had to fucking research this case.
What the fuck?
It's been hours. It's crazy.
Oh, no.
I mean, pretty much, I just watched Colin's videos. Thanks, Colin. Shout out. Theory 7, the dark water theory, which claims that Elisa was murdered and it was in the style of the film Dark Water from 2005. The plot is literally exactly the same as Elisa's story. Yeah. So, apparently, in the film, hotel rooms get flooded because a body is found in the hotel water tower.
Yeah.
As well, there's also a malfunctioning elevator, much like the one that Elisa tried to take.
Ugh.
So.
I think that gives more credibility to her being murdered and someone's like, oh, I saw this film.
Yeah. Totally.
I saw this film based in a hotel, and I'm in a hotel, and I can get to the water tanks.
Yeah. I know.
Or let's go up to the water tanks, and then they
kill her.
Let's go
up to the roof.
Yeah.
Let's go hang out on the roof.
Yeah. And then they kill her, and then put her in there.
Yeah.
And then the rest just coincidentally is that film.
Yeah. I know. It's really weird.
That's so crazy.
So now we're going to go on to the hauntings. But don't worry. I had trouble. It's okay, Sarah Bewa.
I wish this hoodie were a time hoodie.
You remember in the community when the dean says that? Oh my god. So I actually had trouble finding any written stories about the hauntings.
Classic.
Mostly articles.
Come on, people. Write your stories.
Well, articles kind of just talk about the deaths. And the main hit is Elisa Lam.
Right.
That's because obviously it's fucking scary.
Yeah.
That is scarier than any hauntings. Anyways.
Actually.
I also saw on Reddit, on a Reddit post, that someone who is living there from 2 years ago claims that it is absolutely not haunted at all. And that they and their community has never experienced anything creepy there. This is the opposite, though, of what I've heard from other people sharing their stories, but I want to respect that feeling as well.
Yeah, I'm sure that they feel that way.
And that's great.
There's just so many deaths.
There's so many deaths.
And obviously there's something else.
Something weird is going on at that hotel.
There has to be something that is pulling these people there. And then they're like, this is where I'm going to die.
Yeah. I know.
Hello?
I know.
That person, obviously their feelings are valid. Yeah. But both can be true at the same time.
Yes, exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
Some people aren't connected in that same kind of way.
Yeah.
And that's great too.
Yeah.
So the following events and stories are... just mainly from Colin's video on Paranormal Files. Again, shout out. Really makes our lives a lot easier. But I would, I definitely recommend just going and watching the video if you're interested in it. He does a really beautiful, thorough job. So a current resident that was walking with Colin shared a story, and it goes like this.
And this is what happened.
And this is the story. She was up late with her partner. It was about 3 a.m. and they heard a little girl at the end of the hallway bouncing a ball. The ball slipped from her hands and rolled all the way to the couple's door. Then they heard the girl run to the ball and ask really loudly, "Mommy?" Which they both heard. And then the girl vanished.
I really don't like that one.
I know. She also said something about, like, the girl dropping, like, a cell phone. I don't really know how this is related. What? Like, in between the wall or something. And that she can still hear it, like, buzzing or ringing.
Ew.
But I...
What the hell?
Don't know. I don't know what's up with that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, that's that story.
That's terrifying.
The elevator would constantly head to the fifth floor and open its doors and close its doors all throughout the night. One of the residents of the Cecil currently, her name is Christine, she shares it openly. She has the ability to see and communicate with spirits.
Mm-hmm.
She shares that when she tries to leave the Cecil, it feels like a really heavy energy is holding her there all the time.
Oh no.
She has described seeing a small French man holding a briefcase to his chest like this, wearing an oversized suit jacket and hat, and he's the one who gets on and off at the fifth floor stop.
Oh.
Yeah, he's just kind of like, be quiet, you gotta be quiet in the elevator kind of thing. So there's that man. The same resident who has seen the Frenchman claims to see a very tall, giant man. This isn't that spooky, though.
Oh, okay.
I know it starts out spooky. Who is dressed as a bellhop. And so when the maintenance men, like, come down the stairs, because people don't really use the elevator because it's kind of fucking from the 1920s.
Yeah, and scary and...
Super scary.
The ghosts just work the elevator. Exactly. Only the ghost.
That's right.
Only ghosts are allowed in the elevator.
Yep. And so, anyway, so when the maintenance men come down, she claims that she sees this bellhop man.
Oh.
And that he comes down the stairs super quickly before the maintenance men, and then kind of stands and, like, waits by the stairs until they come down.
Oh.
And then he goes again ahead of them and then waits.
Oh.
So it's kind of like he's acting like their escort.
Right.
So she said that she's seen that.
Oh, okay.
She's also seen a lady who sits at a small table and stares out of the window looking at the horizon while smoking a cigarette in one of the rooms. She describes her as looking like a lawyer. And additionally, Christine's friend has smelt cigarettes in the same area.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this is kind of a big pull, but some of Christine's stories are a little bit off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
Which I kind of love, and so I'm going to give them some airtime. So one of her stories is that she believes that Richard Ramirez never died in jail, but instead he lives in the basement of the Cecil.
Whoa, what?
Yeah. And so apparently, like I was saying before, Ramirez's uncle still works there as a maintenance man.
Yeah.
And Christine claims this story about, like, Ramirez in the basement because she says that she can hear him and communicate with him through, like, frequencies in the hotel.
Okay. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, Christine.
Yeah, so she's our girl, but...
Oh, no.
She also states that the energy, like, at the 15th floor fire escape to get onto the roof of the water tanks, which she said that she does sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
She has to climb out a window to do it. I'm like, girl,
yeah,
stop. Like, that's so scary. Yeah. But I don't know how people just do heights like that.
Also, how old are those fire escapes, man?
Yeah, like, well, they're over 100 years old.
I don't even... I've never even trusted my fire escape when I lived upstairs.
Nope.
And mine's not 100 years old.
I know. So she says that that area is where the energy starts to get really, really heavy and really intense, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Kind of another interesting Christine story is that She thinks that all the dead skin cells that have fallen off people over the last 100 years have, like, built up in the drain systems and come together to form, like, a sludgy...
Your sludge face. Monster?
Kind of, like, a sludgy tissue-like substance that is conscious, and that's what makes up the fabric of the hotel, and that the hotel is, like, a living, breathing organism.
Christine, are you okay?
She has thoughts. She's very, like, she's great. She's so kind. She's a really, really lovely human. She seems super kind, and she seems like she's also taking care of her community a lot there.
That's good.
She has some really wild thoughts and stories.
Yeah, those are pretty wild.
Yeah. The last story I have is between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m., a girl dressed in her boyfriend's clothing, so like a big, like button-up, can be seen running up and down between the 15th floor and the 7th floor.
Oh, no.
And she checks all of the doors.
No.
Yeah. And residents, she'll be like, oh, trying to check this one. Nothing in there. Like, checking. She's, like, checking them. And residents have shared that they've heard people knocking on the doors when no one is there.
Why is she checking the doors?
I don't know. I think she's looking for her boyfriend. Or someone.
Oh.
Or herself.
Her body.
Oh my god. So, yeah. It seems to me that the deaths are more terrifying than the haunts, though the haunts are still spooky. And the amount of deaths, both suicides and overdoses, that current residents have witnessed seems to be about 5 per week.
No.
And that number, like, seemed similar previously as well, to be honest. Well, I guess not as much. Now there's, like, more deaths.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is super sad. Like, there's a story about this man who died, and the body wasn't taken out for, like, a week. And there was someone else living in the room with him. But they were just, like, so out of it because of drugs.
Oh, no.
That they didn't even really... notice. And also, like, it also just seems like the, I don't know, whoever's, like, taking care of that whole situation isn't really on it.
Yeah.
When people die, like, it will take a long time before people, like, are picked up after they're dead. Yeah. So
that's, it's so devastating.
Really, really intense, super intense, super sad space to live in.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, the Hotel Cecil functions almost as a gateway between life and death. At this very moment between its walls, there are people fighting for their lives and slipping between the cracks of society and existence as a whole. The Cecil was born into a world about to face decades of trauma, and the repercussions and waves of that trauma are still doing the dance of death in its halls. From suicides and murders, to hosting no good guests, to Elisa Lam and the near hundreds of people who struggle and die from unstable mental health and addictions, we are left with one chilling question. Is the Cecil Hotel itself an evil, demonic entity preying on those who enter, or is it simply an unfortunate gathering space where bad circumstances and fragile, vulnerable people live their last moments? I will leave you all to decide for yourself. And that is the story of the Cecil Hotel.
Mm-mm. Okay.
I'm so sorry. I had to do it to him. You know I had to do it to him. That's what Drake says.
That is so awful.
That
is the worst.
Yeah, so what are you going to do to take care of yourself after that episode?
I don't know. I go home and eat hot Cheetos.
Yeah, I'm going to eat a cinnamon bun, and maybe I'm going to watch Bob's Burgers.
Read my book, maybe play some video games.
Yeah, everyone, eat a cinnamon bun. Get that drink that you always say, I can't afford it. Just this one, you know, this one time, just get it for yourself.
Just get it. Oh, missed a call from the pharmacy.
Oopsie.
That's okay. They're probably saying, come get your stuff.
Yeah, girl. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, everybody. Please go take care of yourselves. Take care of your community as well.
Yep, that's right. Yep, and again, and the number is 988.
Yes.
For the crisis hotline. That's in North America. Yes. And just talk to people. Check in with people. See how they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Be as open and honest as you can and know that you're not alone no matter what you're facing.
Yeah.
And people will be there for you, and I know that you will come out on the other side of it.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
Thank you. And
we promise that maybe we'll bring more lighthearted spooky coming up, because
that was a heavy one.
Hurts. I know. Heart and brain.
Yeah. Thanks, Sarah, for sticking through. I'm thinking of doing some hotels around these parts here.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
Yeah, the Hotel California. Wait. What if that song is about the Cecil?
Is that song about the Cecil Hotel?
Kind of gives me that vibe.
At the Hotel California.
Anyway, I feel like it is. Let us
know, the Eagles.
Hey, Eagles.
Hey, Eagles.
Are they even alive? Okay, we need to go. We need to get out of here.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Thanks. Please take care of yourselves, and we love you. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, corrections, let us know.
You can email us at ghoulsocietypod@gmail.com.
Or you can DM us on Instagram.
@ghoulsocietypod.
Also, you can find any trigger warnings and
resources in each episode's description.
And leave us a 5-star freaking review, because we know you want to.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Exactly. And thanks. And bye.
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 Do-do-do-do-do-do. We're going to jump pretty much right in, but I'm first going to still do our dippity-dippity-doo-doo.
Doopy-doo-wah. Skibbity-riz.
No, not again.